This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the first four verses, and then 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading from his scripture.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the first chapter of John, 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourselves?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Listen for the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels, from a Greek word that means "with one eye." The three synoptic gospels tell the story of Jesus in more or less parallel fashion. There are differences, certainly, but the overall flow of the ministry of Jesus is similar in all three synoptic gospels. Matthew and Luke start with a birth narrative, a birth story. Mark begins with John's baptism of Jesus. So all three synoptic gospels have a beginning point. As soon as we open the gospel we call John, though, we are put on notice. John has something different to say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is John's Christmas, a celebration of Christ's eternal existence. For John, dating things, quote, B.C., is impossible. There can be no before Christ, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Imagine for a moment, just a little imagination game, that the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, had disappeared into the ravening maw of history long before our time, and the only account we had of Jesus was John's. Obviously, we'd have no Christmas celebrations, no chestnuts roasting on an open fire, no stockings, no tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, no Santa Claus. All our mortal responses to the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke, which we love so dearly, would be gone, and no one would mourn their loss, because they never would have happened. They never would have been part of our lives. If John were our only gospel, devout Christians who study the scriptures would open their Bible and be faced with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." One of my reference books describes the prologue, that's what this passage is called, the prologue to John, in these terms: "No book in literature has so breathtaking an opening as these stupendous findings on the life and character of Jesus. When we poor mortals think on Jesus, we're apt to remake him into something much less than what John is telling us. We're likely to think of Jesus, particularly at this time of the year, as a babe in the manger, adorable as all babies are, but vulnerable and powerless, his real nature known first only to cattle and sheep, then to shepherds, and only finally to learned people." For John, from the very first sentence of his gospel, Jesus is the incarnate Logos, the Word who was with God and was God, through whom all things came into being. That's breathtaking. Jesus in the manger touches our hearts. Jesus, the preexistent, is breathtaking. It takes the wind out of any attempt to turn the incarnation into a fairy tale with talking donkeys and little drummer boys. When we are faced with John's Christmas, we are awed into silence. How do we relate to the very Word of God made flesh? The people of the time couldn't digest so rich a meal either. They had to be warned. There had to be someone to break the news that the entire course of history was about to be irrevocably changed. They needed a time of Advent, a time to prepare. For this they had John, called the Baptizer. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Change for all of us is unpleasant. Last Sunday, Reverend Kelly offered some hymns that the congregation isn't familiar with, and I'm given to understand that caused discomfort. I'm not surprised. If that made you uncomfortable, imagine what your reaction would have been had you lived in the time when the Logos, through whom all things came into being, and without whom not one thing came into being, took on flesh and spoke into first century Israel. It was an earth-shattering message, for history itself was about to change. The Logos, who was with God and who was God, stepped upon the ordinary dust from which we are made and to which we return. Did first century Israel immediately embrace the baptizer's message? Of course not. They confronted him and demanded that he tell them just who he thought he was. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Don't get me wrong, I'm not maintaining that our Christmas traditions are wrong or should be abandoned. The infancy narratives did not fall into the jaws of history. We are to relate to them and honor them. But we must be careful that we don't confuse ourselves by avoiding prayerful consideration of the fourth gospel's words. Elves and reindeer are well-loved parts of our cultural history, but they are not part of the biblical account. First century Israelite would have been baffled by any reference to the North Pole. Our task is to read John's account prayerfully, confessing from the first that it is hard, that it makes demands on our understanding. Our task during Advent is to recognize that among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Given my choice, I would prefer a lap full of grandchildren than to engage John's words, and I don't think I'm alone in that. But there will be time enough for grandchildren when Christmas comes. Now is the time of Advent, John the Baptizer's time, to encourage in the people of the time and in us an awareness of the power of God who is bent down to bless us. Now is the time to heed the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In a week's time, we'll celebrate the coming of the Lord. There will be carols and tiny tots with their eyes all aglow and Santa Claus and too much to eat and laughter all around. None of this can touch us with the majesty of Christ unless we have first traveled with John through Advent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. Till we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's children said,
Amen.